Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Kama Daf Kuf, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom, Itma. At the end of the previous shiur, we had discussed if somebody gave an animal to a shaychet to shecht, and the animal and the shaychet didn't shecht the animal properly, and it became an avela, under which circumstances the shaychet would be held responsible. Our Gemara today begins Itmar. Hamara din al Shulchani, as we have discussed on numerous occasions in the times of Chazal, times of Gemara, coins had value based on inherent value. Meaning besides that a coin was a coin, there were two parts to the coin. The inherent value of the amount of silver that was in the coin, and there was a stamp on the coin to show that it was a coin. So the Gemara says, if somebody shows a coin to a Shulchani, an expert in coins, v'nimtzera, and the Shulchani told him that it was a good coin, and it turns out to be not a good coin, Tani Chada, one Brisa says, Umin, if he's an expert, he's potter, hedyut, but if he's not an expert, he's going to be held responsible for giving this wrong recommendation. But Tanyidach, there's another Brisa that says, Bein umin bein hedyet, whether he's an expert or not, he'll be chayif. So we have here a machloike, a brisis, a contradiction amongst between the brisis, which is the Gemara's question. The Rishonim sort of focus the Gemara, and they say as follows. Certainly in a situation where I already have a coin, and I'm showing it to the expert, even if the expert gives me the wrong evaluation, it doesn't change the reality. I already have the coin. And therefore they say under those circumstances, even if the expert gave the wrong evaluation, he would not be held responsible because I have the coin. The Gemara's discussion, say the Rishonim, is in a situation where somebody wants to give me such a coin. I didn't accept it yet. And now I go to the expert and he tells me that it's a good coin. You could go and accept it. And based on his say-so, I do so. And then it turns out to be not a good coin. The Rishonim also want to suggest, based on the Gemara that we learned, that Rava said, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, coins had two parts to it, the inherent value of the silver and the stamp on it. And we learned that Rava told us that if somebody rubs off the stamp, he doesn't file down the coin, the amount of silver remains there, but he files down this coin, this takes off the silver, the stamp. Rabbi said that he would not be chayiv. Says the Gemara, say certain Rishonim, if so, if I actually went and took off the stamp of the coin, Rabbi says I'm not chayiv. So certainly if an expert made a mistake about the stamp on the coin, he should not be held chayiv, because he should not be any worse than somebody who actively takes off the stamp. The Tzais, however, takes exception. He says that an expert is supposed to know what he's doing. And if he doesn't know what he's doing, he's going to be held responsible, even if someone else would do such an act and not be chayiv. So again, the Gemara's question is, that we have a stira, we have a contradiction between the brises, what is the din? So the Tosfos and the Rishonim ask the obvious question. When we had the Gemara in the previous year, when we also had such a question about a shaychet, where one Brisa seemed to say that if he made the animal in the vela, he'll be chayiv, and another Brisa said that if he makes an animal in the vela, he'll be potter, the Gemara suggested it makes a difference if he's getting paid or not. So why doesn't our Gemara give the same answer if he's getting paid or not? So the Rashba explains that by a shaychet, so it's something that's completely in his control. A shaychet is supposed to shecht properly. And therefore, if the shaychet didn't shecht properly, and he's getting paid, so he should have made sure to do the job right. In checking a coin for its validity, it's not that much something that I could do better. And therefore, if the person is an expert, it doesn't make a difference if he's getting paid or not. So again, how do we reconcile these two brises? Amra Papa, Ki tanya umen potter. When is the halacha that an expert is potter? Ki going dank of iser. A dank of iser were individuals who are the greatest experts in coins. The like tzricha, the lemigma klal. They know everything. And therefore, if they made a mistake, we understand that it was unavoidable. If on the other hand, somebody else makes a mistake, even if he's a professional, we're going to hold them responsible. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. If they're such great experts, but my toe, how did they come to make this error if they're such great experts? Answer the Gemara, toh b'sich sechadata. They made a mistake. There was a new coin that just came out. The hishata, the nofik, metusi siksa. The government made a quick change where they took a certain coin out of circulation and put in a new coin. When this person asked these great experts, they weren't aware of this new development, and therefore they're not going to be held responsible. So the Chiddush HaRim asked the obvious question. That's the job of an expert, to be current, to know what's going on. So why are they not going to be held responsible? So says the Chiddush HaRim, this Gemara teaches us a tremendous lesson. The Gemara teaches us, as great of an expert that you are, you can't know everything all of the time. And if something happens just now, especially in those times where there weren't such modern forms of communication, you can't expect somebody to be aware immediately of what's going on and hold them responsible. Says the Gemara, Hayitza de achsa dinner l'Rav Chiya. There was a woman that showed a coin to Rav Chiya. Amala ma'al Yehu. So he evaluated the coin and he said it's fine. The mocha asoy l'kamoy. The next day she came back to him. I showed the coin. I wanted to give the coin to somebody for whatever. Vamali bishahu. This coin is not a good coin. Vloikonophically. And they refused to accept it. Amalei l'Rav. So Rav Chiya said to Rav, his nephew, who was his assistant, Zil chalfanela, go exchange it. Now he'll have to take the loss. V'ksoiv apinkosi, and write in my ledger, Dain Esig Bosh. This was a bad deal for me, because I looked at the coin, and I ended up paying for it. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Satmar Rebbe on this Gemara. He says, you know, in life, business people make bad investments. That's part of being in business. He says, we don't find this concept of somebody makes a bad investment, he writes down that I made a bad investment. It's a bad investment. He loses money, doesn't make as much as he would have liked, but he has to go on. What's pshat that he wrote, Dain Esik Bish? So he says a beautiful vart. He says, a tzaddik, a person who acts appropriately, makes a cheshbon nefesh. Every day he sits down and thinks about what happened to him, and he knows that everything that happens to us happens for a reason. He says, the Gemara says, the famous Gemara, Masech the Brochus, the Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine that got spoiled. So when they got spoiled, he didn't say, look, the weather or whatever. He recognized that he must have done something wrong that would have caused his wine to get spoiled. Says the Satmar Rebbe, the exact same thing happened with Rav Chiya. If Rav Chiya saw that he made a mistake, that he evaluated the coin to be a good coin when actually it was a bad coin, it's not stam. It's not that it just happens coincidentally. He must have done something wrong that when Hashemayim, they were sending him a message, you need to improve. And then Esik Bish, that's what he wrote. When he did its Cheshvan HaNefesh, he said, I must have done something wrong that day if Min HaShemayim, they punished me that I should make this error. Ask the Gemara. But we need to understand. Umayishno Dankav Issa the Ptiri. Why by Dankav Issa do we say if they look at a coin and they make a mistake, they're not going to be held responsible? Mishn Dloy Tzrich L'Migmar. Because they don't have to. They're the greatest experts, as we said. Ask the Gemara. Rav Chiya Nami L'Migra Kaboy. Rav Chiya was also a great expert. So the first would say, how do you know Rav Chiya was such a great expert? They saw two teretz. One teretz is a simple teretz. The Gemara knew that Rav Chiya was a great expert. Another teretz that the Rashba says, if Rav Chiya weren't a great expert, he would have never taken the responsibility to do something that he doesn't know how to do. If we see that Rav Chiya accepted upon himself to look at coins, this must be because Rav Chiya is an expert. So if he's an expert, the Gemara says an expert is not going to be held responsible. Why are we holding Reb Chiya responsible? Answers the Gemara, Reb Chiya l'fnei mishuras hadin l'David. Actually, Reb Chiya shouldn't have had to pay. He just went the extra mile. Where do we see this concept of going l'fnei mishuras hadin? K'tanya Reb Yosef. The pasuk says that Yisroi tells Moshe Rabbeinu, v'da'at lahem, you should notify them, ze beis chayehim. So Rashi says, what does beis chayehim mean? Talmud Torah. So Pash Pshat, Rashi say, that Yisroel was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, what should he instruct Klal Yisroel? He should instruct Klal Yisroel to learn Torah. It's a very difficult pshat. Because if we look at the beginning of that pasuk, the pasuk says already, v'sharta moysam as a Torah v'sachukim. That Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisroel already told Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Klal Yisroel Torah. So we don't have to repeat that they have to learn. What's pshat beis chayehim? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is beis chayehim that Yisroel suggested to Moshe Rabbeinu, besides that you teach them to learn Torah, they have to make beis chayehim. They have to make a place where you learn Torah. They should establish yeshivas. They should establish bati midrashim. Beis chayehim, a home for that Torah. That's one pshat. Another pshat, interesting pshat, the Netziv suggests, he says, well, beis chayehim means that you should teach them an umnas. You should teach them that besides learning, they also have to learn a profession. Because kol Torah she'ein ima melacha seifa b'teila. And you have to learn that as important as you have to learn, you also have to have an umnas. And in fact, he goes on to explain why. What was Yisroel concerned about? We all remember the parasha Yisroel. Yisroel was concerned that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't carry the burden of sitting and answering the Torah all day. So what did Yisroel want? Yisroel wanted to lighten Moshe Rabbeinu's burden. So one way he did it was by establishing the whole hierarchy of Sari Chamishim, Sari Meir, Sari Asaras. But the other thing he wanted to do was create a situation where there shouldn't be so many Dinei Torah. How do you create a situation of not having so many Dinei Torah? The way you create it is by help having people, if people have panosa, if people have a way of earning a living, so they're not that contingent on each other, and especially if they learn Torah and they run the businesses in an ethical, halachic manner, you're going to have much less dinei Torah. Es haderech zu gemilas chasadim. Teach them gemilas chasadim. Why? How do we get to say, ask the mefarshim, that derech means gemilas chasadim? Because we know that a person has to follow the ways of Hashem. And what is the most defining, as much as we could explain, the most defining characteristic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The fact that he's such a tremendous Gemil Chesed to us all the time. As a derech, zu gemilas chesedim, that we should follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu in doing gemilas chesed. So I saw a very beautiful vart. There was once someone, happens to all of us, somebody came to a certain place, and he needed directions. He didn't know how to get to a certain destination. So he went over to somebody. He says, how do you get there? The person was very nice. He says, I'm not just going to give you directions. I'm actually going to walk you to where you're going to show you how to get there. After the person escorted him, he turned around to the person. He said, thank you. I'm sorry for taking you out of the way. He says, you didn't take me out of the way. Zu aderech. This is the right way. The right way is to walk with somebody and show him chesed and help him get to his destination. You didn't take me out of the way. You took me on the right way. Yelchu, zu bika chaylim. So Mefarshim discuss, why does bika chaylim have to be singled out? Bika chaylim is an example of chesed. So actually, the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia asked this question. And the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia says that the Gemara says that if somebody's a Ben Giloy, who is the best person to visit somebody who's not well? Somebody's a Ben Giloy. Well, Mitzvah learned the Gemara. Posh Pshat Ben Giloy is they were born the same time. And the Gemara says that if somebody's a Ben Giloy and he visits somebody who's ill, he takes away a 60th of the illness. So a person who's a Ben Giloy won't want to visit somebody. I'm going to get myself sick. Yeah, so the pasuk singles them out. It says that even though Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, that even though it involves sort of you getting sick, you should still be mevaka chaylim. Others say a very important halachic teretz, and that is as follows: even though, as the Gemara just says, there's an obligation for all of us to follow the ways of Hashem. And we said that means doing chesed. That doesn't mean if somebody's doing chesed, he's in the category of oisk mitzvah, potem in mitzvah. That means if I'm collecting tzedakah or I'm doing some other chesed activity, I don't have to daven that day. Of course I have to daven. However, the Gemara, and this is halacha, singles out bikachoylim to teach us that somebody's bikachoylim is a separate mitzvah. And there we do have the din of oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. But then I saw a very nice word. Baron Rothschild was actually a friend, if you call it a friend, a Talmud of the Ksav Sofer. And he used to come visit the Ksav Sofer on a fairly regular basis. One time he came to visit the Ksav Sofer, and the Ksav Sofer wasn't feeling well. So Baron Rothschild remained there for a very short time, and then got up to leave. So the Ksav Sofer asked, "Why are you going away? Shouldn't you, you know, you should usually stay longer?" He says, "I was mekayim the mitzvah b'kecholim. But part of doing the mitzvah b'kecholim properly is yelchu, is to leave. That somebody who comes to visit a sick person shouldn't overstay the welcome. Because sometimes the person is really not feeling well, and he's not up to having guests. He needs to have some sort of a treatment, and he can't have the treatment while the guest is sitting there." So he said, the Gemara says, you know what b'kecholim involves? Yelchu. That the mevakecholim should know to go away. But Zukfura. It refers to kfura. Why is ba kfura? So the Marsha explains that ba means kfura because there's no, we know the Rashi already says a chumash. The kfura represents a chesed shalemis. Nobody, when you do kfura sameis, you don't expect anything back. The person's not here anymore. Ba, so kfura, that's what he meant. Again, Mefarshim ask, why is kfura, which is really another example of bikacholim, singled out? So again, the Rambam seems to say that kvura is the concept of being a separate mitzvah, and we actually again apply the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. If somebody's involved in a kvura sameis, he's potem from other mitzvahs. Another pshat, the Gemara Masechta Matzias suggests, is that normally there's a concept in halacha of zakevein l'fi kfoidoi, that even though a person is supposed to do chesed, etc., but if it's not up to the person who's doing its honor to act that way, he's exempt. Not for kfura. Everybody has an obligation to participate in levayas ameis, kavod ameis, even if it's above his dignity. Es hamaisa, zu adin. Es hamaisa refers to din. Ashiyasu, zu lefnim mishuras adin. Going past the what's required. So Masha says, why is Ashiyasun require mean lefnim mishuras adin? So Masha explains very nicely. He says, what does lefnim mishuras adin mean? That, especially in the context of our Gemara. The two of us have a disagreement. And maybe I'm halachically correct. But I bend and I go the extra mile to give in. So it requires two people. You and me, and I'm giving in to you. Ashiyasun is Lashon Rabbim. Now, as Machlokes Rishonim, how far does the obligation of Lefnim Meshuras Adin go? Some Rishonim say Lefnim Meshuras Adin is only in a situation where there's a halachic basis. Again, we're talking about Dinei Mominus. Where there's a halachic basis that I should give in, even though the halacha, the Beis Din, doesn't require me to give in. Lefnim Meshuras Adin, I should. But let's say there's absolutely no halachic basis for me to give in. That's not called Lefnim Meshuras Adin. Other Rishonim say Lefnim Meshuras Adin even involves a situation where there's no halachic basis, no reason in the world for me to give in, but I do anyway. Interesting remark. The remark says, Parshat Pshat, we can't force anybody to act Lefnim Meshuras Adin. As the words Lefnim Meshuras Adin imply, it's going extra, but I can't force you to do more than you're obligated. However, says the remark, that is not a hard and fast rule. He says we have to look at the individual. Let's say we have an individual. We have two individuals who are having a din Torah. And the wealthy individual actually, al pi din, is exempt. But he could afford to give in, and we know he should give in. There the Beis Din, says the remark, has the right to compel him to give in. Act lefnim meshuras adin. Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish achlei dinner Rav Elazar. Rish Lakish showed a coin, as we've been saying to Rav Elazar, Amma ma'al Yehu. So he said, it's fine. Amalei. So he said to him, Rav Lakish said to Rav Elazar, Chazi daloch kasamichna. I want you to know, I'm relying on your statement. Amalei kisamachtam lai ma'al memory. He said, what are you trying to tell me? He says, what I'm trying to tell you is, the mishtak bisha, if it turns out to be not a good coin, be'ina l'chlufilach. You're going to have to exchange it. So the way, there's a machlokes in the Rishonim, how to learn this Gemara. Some Rishonim explained the Gemara, is that here Rabbi Elazar was an expert. And as we've been learning in the Gemara, at the bottom of Amud Beis, an expert, even if he makes an error, is not going to be held responsible. What the Gemara here is teaching us, however, is that if somebody is an expert, but he's told, Chazi daloch kasamichna, then he doesn't have that excuse. And if he has to be especially careful, and if he makes an error, no matter how great of an expert he is, he's going to be held responsible. That's the simple way of learning the Gemara. The Ari Shalom say that an expert is always exempt, and here too is speaking about a hedget. It's interesting to note, I saw a very interesting shaila, it's all based on this Gemara. You know, we live in a world that every patient is a half a doctor himself. So there was a patient that came to a doctor, and he told the doctor, these are my symptoms, but I know that this is my disease. And I know that this is the medicine you should prescribe to me. And the doctor didn't do his own research and didn't do his own checkup. He accepted what the patient said. And then it turned out that the patient had a different disease, or that the medicine that the doctor agreed to give him wasn't actually the medicine that patient should have taken. So the Paiskim say that the doctor certainly would be responsible for malpractice, because that's certainly in the category of chazid alach kasamichna. That when you go to a doctor, as much as you think you know, you're relying on the doctor. And if the doctor doesn't do his job properly, then everybody will agree that the doctor will be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Va'atu da amrit, remei hi da don dira da garmi. As we just learned, there's a concept of garmi. We'll quickly review it in a moment. That when it's not direct damage, it's Ramei that holds the Chayiv. In this case, it wasn't direct damage. It wasn't that he took his coin and, so to speak, ruined it. He gave a bad evaluation. And it seems that that's only, according to Ramei, an issue. My laugh isn't what it means, Ramei v'lesfir lan kavasei. That's Ramei's opinion that Garmi is an issue. But we don't follow Ramei's opinion. Amalei Ramei, actually, it does follow Ramei's opinion of Garmi. But it's not that we don't follow the opinion of Rameya. Actually, the sphere like Kavasei, the halacha follows Rameya as far as Garmi. And as we discussed, and quickly to review, what is Garmi? Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim suggest that Garmi and Groma are actually one and the same. And although we've learned so many times in our Masechta that Groma ben Zakin is part of Medina Adam, v'chayv b'dinei Shemayim, Rameya holds that Groma is chayv. That's one opinion. Other Rishonim disagree. And they say that Garmi and Groma are not actually the same. But rather, they have different definitions of what distinguishes Garmi from Groma. Some Rishonim say what the difference is, that Garmi, there's no delay in the damage, versus in Groma, the damage doesn't happen immediately, it happens with a delay. Another nafkamina between Garmi and Groma is that in Garmi, it's certain that the damage is going to happen. That means, let's use our Gemara as the best example. If I give you the wrong evaluation about your health, or give you the wrong evaluation about the coin, you're certainly going to get damaged, because you won't be able, you're going to get caught with that counterfeit money. In other cases, it's not certain that it's going to happen. Another nafkamina that we discussed, going back really to the beginning of the Masechta. The Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta, one of the first examples we encountered of Groma ben Zakin is where somebody dropped something from the window, from the roof, But when he dropped it, there were pillows and blankets that the item would fall on and not shatter. But what happened was somebody now went and pulled away those pillows and blankets, and it fell on the ground and shattered. So what the person did, he didn't do anything to the actual item that got damaged. He did something to something else, and that was the result. That's a grumma. Whereas garmi is what you did was to the actual item that got damaged. Again, in our Gemara, you actually gave the wrong evaluation on the coin in question, not on something else. Also, a machloikis, if we follow the opinion of Rameya, or Rameya's opinion, that a garmi is chayiv, is that midaraisa or midarabotim? Some Rishonim suggest that what Rameya is saying is that garmi, whatever we define garmi to be, is an actual case of mazik. And all the halakas of mazik apply. Other Rishonim suggest that even Rameyer agrees that garmi is not really a case of Adam HaMazik. But just since garmi is so close to real hezik, Chachamim punished and considered somebody who did an act of garmi as if he actually did an act of hezek. So the Gemara is saying that this case of making the bad evaluation on the coin is a situation of garmi, which follows the opinion of Rameya. But the Gemara now is going to seek the source where we see that garmi, Rameya holds garmi is chayiv. Hi Rameya, where do we see that Rameya holds that garmi is chayiv? Ilem Rameya dalalam mem pei simen. I always say, the Shlok HaKadosh says that even though we don't even always understand the Simonim in the Gemara, but saying over the Simonim is a school to be able to remember the Gemara, which is certainly something we could relate to. The Tanan, Donas Adin, if somebody passed in the Torah, Zikas Achayev, and he said that the guilty person is innocent, or chayev is a zakai, or he said that the innocent person is guilty, the guilty person is innocent. And before we go into the Gemara, the Rishonim, and we're going to discuss this more at length in Mitzvah Hashem, in Masechta Sanhedrin. If Beis Din makes a mistake, Tor B'dvar Mishnah, means that there's an open Mishnah, open Pesach and Shulchan Aruch, that Beis Din didn't follow, that's not what the Mishnah is referring to. Because there the halach is that the Din is reversed if they made such an open mistake. Here the Gemara is speaking about a situation where the mistake is not that black and white. It's a situation where we should have known. In other words, it's not an open Mishnah or open Sif in Shulchan Aruch that says a halacha one way. It's a question. Most of the world follows one psak, and Beis Din followed another psak, which is called Tos B'Shikul Hadas. That's where Beis Din is going to be held responsible. So again, Donas Adin, Zikas Achayev, or Chayev Zazakai. Timei es Ator. He made something Tahor, Tomei. And again, the way that we shine him explained, the Gemara really says this in Masechta Sanhedrin. What does that mean? Tiher es Tomei. Timei es Ator. He said something that is Tahor when it's, he said something is Tomei when it's really Tahor. He went. And then the person who heard the Psak of Beis Din went and took this item and put it together with the rest of the Tomei items, thinking it's Tomei anyway. And now, it turns out that it's Tar, but it's too late. It got Tomei. It really got Tomei. Or Tiher as a Tomei. He said something that's Tar is Tomei. Mash Osi Osi. The Psak stands, because it's not an obvious mistake, as we explained. Yishalom Ebeisoi. Now in this case, the Beis Din didn't do direct damage, as we just explained the case. It was Tir as a Tomei, Timei as a Tor, and then the person who I gave the Psak to acted on the basis of my Psak. So it's only a Garmi. It wasn't direct, and yet we see Rameya holds Yechayiv. So isn't this a clear indication that Rameya holds that Yechayiv? And says the Gemara, Chayit Malo, Omer Belo, Omer Rav, It's not referring to a situation where Beis Din issued a ruling, and then based on the issue, on the psak of Beis Din, they acted, which would be a situation of garmi. Rather, refers to a situation that Beis Din actively carried out their psak, and therefore they're considered active mazik. Al Horameya. It's the following psak of Rameya, Actually, the Mishnah we're going to learn in a few moments on Amud Beis. But the Mishnah said, Mishnah refers to a situation, L'tzvay lo edoim v'tzavay shachar. Somebody asked the dyer to color the wool red, and he did black. Shachar v'tzavay edoim. Or he did black, he asked for black and he did red. Ramei oimer, nosim lo yedemei tzamroi. He has to give him the tzemer. So the Mefarshim, the Rabbi Chanan Vassman says a gaval de gavart. Actually, it's something that we've seen throughout the Masechta, but he focuses on it based on this Gemara. He's saying, we're trying to understand what Ramea's view is in a situation of Mazik. As we learned, we actually learned this Mishnah many times, quoted the Mishnah many times, we're going to learn it soon. The Mishnah, according to Ramea, represents a situation of Gezeila. So Rabbi Chanan asks, how does the Gemara compare Gezeila to Hezek? We're trying to understand what is Ramea's opinion regarding Garmi by Hezek. And we bring a raya from a Mishnah that speaks about Gezeila. What's Pshat? Says Rabbi Chanan, from here we see that Gezeila and Hezek travel together, and that the Dinim are very similar. Answers the Gemara, Hossam, it's not a garmi. The dyer actively, with his own hands, colored it wrong. That's not garmi. In fact, the Mefarshim ask, the teretz is so obvious, what was the Gemara's havamina? The Mefarshim say, since it wasn't specifically his intention to do the wrong thing, that's why the Gemara considers it only a garmi, not a direct hezek. But the Gemara says, still you can't compare it, because he actively did it. It wasn't just a garmi. Elohorameya. If somebody put his wine tree, his grape tree, on top of somebody else's grain, a situation of kloyim, hareza kiddush, v'chayiv. Again, it's considered that he made kloyim and he's chayim. Ask the Gemara, hosam nami kovav yadayim. He didn't act. So again, the Mordechai asked the question. The same obvious question. He did it. He actively did it. So what's the Gemara's havamina? So the Rishonim say a beautiful teretz. What happens here is there are really two stages. That's the way the Achronim help us understand what the Rishonim say. Because just because I put the Geffen on top of the Tvua, it's not automatically Klayim. It only becomes Klayim at a later stage when it grows together to a certain shear. So that's why it's not automatic. So I would think that that's considered a situation only of Garmi, because as we explained before, what is the definition of Garmi? What is a delayed reaction? And here there's a delayed reaction. It doesn't happen to become Klayim right away, so why should I be Chayiv? Kamashmon, they still Ovid B'Yadayim. But ask the Mordechai, you know, now that we said this wonderful Teretz, that it didn't become Klayim right away, so then the Kash is back. Why are we comparing the two cases? Why isn't this indeed a situation of Garmi? If before we explained that the definition of Garmi is when there's a delayed reaction. So the Mordechai says a gevald gechidish. Mordechai says there are two steps. As soon there's Isser and there's the implementation of the Isser. As soon as the person puts his geffen on top of somebody else's tefuah, we have a situation of Klayim. But Klayim, there's the implementation of the Isser. The implementation of the Isser only comes when you have the proper shear. But that doesn't mean at that point only do you have an Isser Klayim. The Isser Klayim you have immediately. And therefore the Gemara is saying, since you have the Isser Klayim immediately, and he did it biyodayim, that's why it can't be compared to the regular situation of Garmi. El Harameya. So the Gemara finally identifies it. The Tanya, Mechitzas HaKerem Shenifritzah. If there's a wall between your field and my field has a kerem, has a vineyard, and your field, you have tvua, grain. Oimel HaGedar. So, you who own the grain field, tell me who owns the grape, the vineyard, to put up the wall. The Rishonim all discuss why is it more of a response to avoid this of Klayim. Why is it more of a responsibility of the person owning the vineyard to put up the wall versus a responsibility of the person that owns the tefillah. Klaim represents the mixture of both. So why does the person who owns the vineyard have more of a responsibility? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that grape trees, the tree that grows grapes, have very big roots. And they're more likely to need the space of that it's going to go into the other field. It's more likely that the grape tree will go into the tefuah versus the tefuah going to the grape tree. One teretz. Another teretz is that grape trees don't grow grapes as much as tefuah is constantly growing. So the person who's growing the tefuah says, I'm not sure when your grapes are going to be growing. And it's your responsibility to know. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara many times, the Mishnayos, those that learned Mishnayos Klayim, know that the Mishnah many times speaks about Kedei Avoidas HaKerem. What does Kedei Avoidas HaKerem mean? A grape tree needs a lot of tending. It needs a lot of care. And the Mishnah always speaks about the Dalet Amos around the grape tree being left open that I could work with it. Tvua grows by itself. It doesn't really need that kind of labor. So the Gemara is saying that the person who has the tefuah could say that to the person who has the grape tree, you have to leave space because you need the space anyway to work on it. Then there's one more teretz. There's actually probably more teretz. I'll quote one more teretz. The halacha is as follows. It's not that tefuah as soon as it grows, or it's not that grapes, as soon as they grow, that they could be susceptible to klayim. They're only susceptible to klayim, the Mishnah says in Masechta Klayim, when they grow to a certain shear. What is the shear? By tefuah, it's shlish gedula, when it grows up to a third. By grapes, it's pul halovin. So the Mefarshim explain that as we talk about the seasons of the year, tefuah reaches a shlish much before a grape reaches pul halovin. So that's pshat in the Gemara. The person who has the tefuah says, my tefuah is fine. Now your grape is one that's causing the problems. Because when my tefuah hit the shear of shlish, you didn't yet have pul halovin. Now you want to have grapes that should aser, that should cause a problem for my tefuah, you have to make sure that they don't. So the halacha, and again, it's worth repeating these halachas, the Rishonim say this, that when we learn a Mishnah of Zroyim, of Taharis, and our Gemaras, we need to dwell on it for a moment, because there's no Gemaras on those Mishnayos, so we don't ever come to really learn those Gemaras. So we have to try to understand. It's probably worthwhile to learn the Mishnayos anyway. Amal Gedor. So the halach is, as long as he tells him to build a fence, and he intends to build a fence, and he works on building a fence, we won't have a situation of klayim. However, the nisyash shemena, once the person who has this vineyard decides to ignore the request, and he's not going to build a fence, v'loy godra, harez akidish. At that point, it becomes klayim. And he's held responsible for it. So even though it's not klayim right away, it takes time, as we've been learning, till the klayim actually becomes. Still, it's considered klayim because it's gambi. Even though it didn't involve a direct action. He didn't do anything. He just didn't build a fence. So we see that a garmi is considered a mazik, and that Mishnah represents the opinion of Rameyam. Actually, the Rishonim point out that it's not a Mishnah. It's a brisa. But here we see that since the brisa is taught anonymously, the Rishonim say that just like throughout Shas, we have a rule that stam Mishnah Rameya, we also apply that rule to stam brisa. And that's why we're assuming that that brisa follows the opinion of Rameya that says that Garmi, a mazik with Garmi is chayef. So this is the Mishnah we've learned so many times, as recently as Omer Aleph. Hanoisin tsem l'tzava. Somebody gives wool to somebody to dye it. Vigdichai. And he burns it. Vigdichai yoira. And he lets it burn. And again, we learned the other day, what does that mean? Doesn't mean that it first hit, the color got absorbed, and then he left it on the fire too long. Pshat is that it never was absorbed properly. Noisenloi, the mate samurai. He's considered a gazlan. Why is he considered a gazlan? Because there was a shinui. And whenever there's a shinui, then he becomes the owner of the wool, and he has to pay the nigzal, the original owner of that value. Sovakar, let's say he dyed it, but the color didn't come out nicely. Then I will explain what that means. So the halacha is like this. Im hashavach yeser al tziya, if the value, even though it's not colored well, but the value is better than the, is more than the investment, noisen la yeser tziya, all you have to pay is the value of what I put into it. Vim yitzi yeser al shvach, if the expense is more than the improvement. As the Rishonim explained, it's referring to a situation where the price of dye dropped, then only nice and nice shevach, you only have to give the improvement. Letzvayle edoim v'tzava shachar, he asked me to do black and I did red. Shach v'tzava edoim, he told me to do black and I did red. Remei oim v'noisen l'demeit samran. Remei says that this is a situation of gzela, but since it's a situation of gzela, the halacha is that the nigzal, the gazlan, becomes the owner of the new will, of the new wool, and he has to pay the nigzal, he has to pay the original owner the value of what he took. Although there's an interesting point in the Rishonim say, interestingly, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz discusses this. He says as follows, we learned these dinim many times in this perek, that if a gazlan steals something, and he's mishanit, he transforms it. The item he stole becomes his, and the nigzal, the owner, is only entitled to the value of what was stolen from him. Here he says that everybody will agree that if the nigzal tells the gazlan, you didn't follow the orders, but and you dyed it the wrong color, so if he's willing to pay for the value of the wool that's dyed, then he has a right to demand that the gazlan give him the wool if he's willing to pay for its current value, even though that's not normally the halacha by gazlan. And the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz explains why is that the din. So he said, because this is not a real case of gzela. The real case of gzela is where somebody intended to steal from you. Here, he didn't really intend to steal. He just didn't follow instructions. So it's not exactly identical to all the other situations of gzeil that we learned. And that's why if the nigzal is willing to pay, he could pay and take his wool. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Im ha-shvach yeser al yitzia, noisen la yitzia, v'mi yitzia yeser al ha-shvach, noisen la yitzia. And here we have a machlokes rishonim in trying to understand Rav Yehuda's opinion. Rashi says, that's a special knas, that even though we've been learning that a gazlan has the din, that he becomes the owner of the new item if he's mishanet, here Rabbi Yehuda felt that if I hire a worker and he disobeys me, he disrespects me, he doesn't follow what I asked him, he doesn't deserve to get to keep the item and just pay back what he took. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. And Tosfos' disagreement with Rashi is very well understood. So why did Rabbi Yehuda decide to disagree here? He should have disagreed in all the situations that we have with a gazlan, that as many people have pointed out, the Gemara seems to be too nice to the gazlan. So Tosfos says that the only time, Tosfos says two pshatim, where Rabbi Yehuda treats this individual different than a regular gazlan. One pshat, Tosfos says, makes a lot of sense, is that the reason why Chazal were lenient with the gazlan, as we've learned so many times, is because takanas hashovim. We wanted to encourage people to do tshuva. Where is their concept of encouraging somebody to do tshuva? By a gazlan. I intended to steal, and now I wake up and I want to do the right thing. So Chazal wanted to make it easy for me to do the right thing. They wanted to encourage me to do tshuva. Here, this person's not a gazlan. He's a worker. He didn't follow instructions. So there's no concept of takanas hashovim. Another pshat that Tosfos says, the only time we say that the gazlan is koine b'shvach, that if he changes it, he becomes the owner, is when he intended to take ownership through his act of shinui. Here, this dyer has no intention of taking ownership of this item. All it intended to do was to color it the wrong color. That's not with an intention to take ownership. And when there is no intention to take ownership, he doesn't become the owner. So the Mishnah spoke about kohor, that the color didn't come out well. What does that mean? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba Kalbus. That he did Kalbus. Ask the Gemara, that still doesn't help us much. My Kalbus, what does Kalbus mean? Amar Rav Shmuel, Kaf for the Duri. It means, they, and we'll discuss this more with Shem tomorrow's shir, they used to make dye. How would they make dye? They would take different ingredients and cook them together. Sometimes you had color that was left at the bottom of the pot, which was inferior. And if you use that color, you're going to get an inferior result when you actually use that dye.